Chats and rats. Nobody knows what that means right now.
They don't.
Right? However, right. They're about to learn.
They are about to learn.
Welcome back to Studio B. This is episode 4, which this is the first episode that has a title.
It is.
Chats and Rats. With Amelia Terry. Isn't that amazing?
That is so cool. Such a clever Chats and Rats. Yeah. Chats and Rats.
Plus, Amelia is such a bubbly personality.
Yeah.
And
such a fun energy.
I said last week that Leah had a big heart for this work. And I think Amelia shares that same heart.
Yeah,
for
the exact same heart.
Civic innovation.
Great person to follow up.
Engagement work. Oh my gosh. Yeah, I can't wait to check in with her as she goes down the road and all the projects that she is working on. She's amazing. Did you guys like this episode?
I did. It was really fun. But even though it was fun and enjoyable, it was also like we learned a lot.
Yeah.
We learned quite a bit about stuff. About a student that's actually in, Bonner and the stuff that they do and the stuff that they've done in their past.
Yeah.
And you learn that. And it kind of shows you the person that they are today.
Yeah.
So I think that's cool.
I don't think we're going to get a sponsorship this episode because I said that I was very anti rodents and rats and mice. So I doubt that like PetSmart or somebody's going
to
give us that sponsorship now.
Man,
so Meg, can you take that off the list of places that we're not going to get sponsored by or that we're going to get sponsored by?
I'll take it off the list. But I think that Amelia just like her whole vibe and the idea that I had for this episode was just coming up with a different kind of vibe.
Yeah.
And I think we're calling it a student spotlight episode. This is our first student spotlight episode, which I'm super excited about. Obviously we do employees of the Appalachian Center. We'll have some community partners on at some point, but I think the student spotlights are a good place for inclusion of like the community as a whole, not just like what we call when we're talking about it, like adults and students. But I think that she really brings like a really good mix of both. Like you guys said, she's a great follow up from Leah, because they really do have the same heart for the things that they're passionate about.
Yeah, like that mix of both worlds. And we get that.
Yeah. And we connected a lot of dots this episode. I don't know where my brain is. I'm on no sleep. But like at one point, I connected old people, children, and rats, right? Did I say that?
Yes, all three.
Oh, wow.
All three. How does those three connect to the concept that she was talking about?
Well, you're about to find out.
Yeah.
Here is our interview with the amazing Amelia Terry.
Hey. Welcome to Studio B, the Emory and Henry College Bonner Scholar Podcast. Join Ryan and Peyton as they discuss themes of place, community, and common ground.
This is Studio B.
Here we are, sitting down virtually with Amelia Terry.
Amelia Terry.
Amelia Terry, are you there?
Are you there?
Okay, there she is. I was like, we were just talking to her.
We were.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah. Do you want me to introduce myself?
Yeah. There we go.
Okay. Yeah. I'm Amelia Terry. I'm a second year at Emory and Henry. I'm a psychology and civic innovation major with a Spanish minor. I also do a bunch of stuff here on campus, like housing, Bonner, civic leader scholars. I'm in the Senate for the student government. I can keep going, but you guys can.
No, we're gonna talk about all of those things. How are you?
I'm good today. How are you guys?
I'm good, Peyton.
Well, I'm doing okay. I'm coming off of a little sickness that's going around here.
Yeah.
The weather's changing like crazy.
Okay,
how does it go from about an 86?
Yeah.
To drops down to this Friday to like 64, 65 with a low of like 42.
I know the seasons are changing.
Are you kidding me?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either.
Yeah. That's awesome. So Amelia, we're gonna unpack some of the stuff you do on campus because you're such an amazing human. But can you tell us a little bit about your life pre Emory Henry College? Also kind of like what brought you here?
Oh, absolutely. So I'm from Oneida, Tennessee. It's a small little place that three people that I've met on this college have told me they know where it's at. I went to Oneida High School, but I didn't really do most of my work there. I actually spent a lot of time working on my associate's degree in high school, which kind of opened up a lot of time for me to be able to work with a local nonprofit that we have in my hometown. And so I ended up being the president of a youth leadership board called STAND. And a lot of what we did was more so civic engagement and just community service. I worked a lot with our local homeless shelter, which kind of brought me way more into the App Center and also in the community college that I went to. My psychology professor, his daughter actually went here, which is how I found out about Emory and Henry. And then from there, my mom started finding different scholarships, and that's how I got into Bonner, which essentially made my decision of what college to come to.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think everybody in this room right now, me, Peyton, and Meg, are also here because of the Bonner Scholar Program.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's really awesome that we have that in common. Amelia, can you tell us a little bit about some of the Bonner projects that you have worked on?
So I started off with the Appalachian Oral History Project, which is where we work on digitizing, indexing, just different old videos of music and interviews and things like that. And one day I actually double recorded the wrong tapes onto two wrong computers, and I decided that I would be much better at something else. So I went and asked Bradley for some different project ideas, and I found River's Way, which is my project from October of last year until the end of our first year of college. So I got to spend a lot of time with a lot of neurodiverse people. We get to go to different sporting events. We get to go on some nature walks, crafting. And overall, just River's Way from Bristol is just a really good experience and some lovely people to meet. However, this semester, my project is actually the CHADS event. Okay, so CHADS is called Connecting Humans and Telling Stories is what the acronym means. And that's a project that we started in this past spring where we all come together and it's a big group of people who are working on more effective communication, getting to know each other like in a deeper level and kind of understanding where other people are coming from in order to foster a more healthy connection between people. And so we did a three-part series where we talked about a beginner's mindset, third chair perspective, and also help me out. What was the other one?
Challenging assumptions.
There we go.
Nice.
Okay, yeah. So a lot of what I really enjoyed is like kind of just acting out the activities and getting people to think about that. Probably more the third chair perspective was my favorite event in it, just because we got to think about like being that third mindset, which is a lot of what I try to do just as a psychology major. I just try to take myself out of my shoes and out of the other person's shoes and kind of see all of the outside factors coming into play in a lot of situations. So I think the CHADS event is really like probably going to be my favorite Bonner project, just because I feel like it ties my civic engagement and my psychology into one thing.
Speaking of Bond, the CHADS event, I think we're supposed to be having some events here on campus
and,
here soon,
and
correct?
I've heard that they've moved. So, Amelia, can you do a little shameless plug for your project really quickly?
Okay.
Yeah, hang tight with me. So, I believe the first one is on Monday.
Yes.
Monday. And Lyceum credit, correct?
Yeah.
There we go.
It's Monday at the McLaughlin Center for the Arts. It's actually in the Black Box Theater, though, and it is at 7 p.m.
That's a lot more convenient now, because it used to have to drive to Marion.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it is
so convenient. It's also a Lyceum credit for students.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I say that.
I would eat that up.
Yeah, exactly.
Shameless confession. We're supposed to have 9 a year. I'm in my second year, and I have 4 Lyceums.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard.
Crickets. There are crickets in the audience because I have 4.
There are crickets.
So I will be at CHADS. If
I will be there too.
Should we do a fan meet and greet? Like, we're going to
be
at CHADS, right?
Yeah.
I'll sign some things.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll bring some Sharpies. And Amelia Terry can sign some things too.
I would love to.
Amelia, you've done a lot of great work through the Appalachian Center for Civic Life. And I know you did some awesome things there this summer. My question is there a story that you have that kind of wraps up in its essence why you do the work that you do?
Probably.
Is there an interaction, maybe, you know?
Actually, yeah, this might be a little bit of a extension onto what you're asking me, but I actually, so this summer I got to do a couple of different community little kid camps that I got asked to do as part of my Bonner project for working for the App Center. And one of the ones that I got to do was actually work a theater camp, which is not my biggest skill, but I did have some community theater experience. And so all week I got to dress up in as much red as I could find, because I had the 7 to 9 year olds, which turned into 6 to 10 year olds. And so we would go all around campus, and I got to just sort of build a community with them, which was a weird thing to think about would fall under like civic life and stuff like that. But we got to meet all sorts of different people. I got to teach them about the history. Oh, they love the duck pond. That was a really big deal. But if I hadn't worked in the App Center, I wouldn't have got to meet. I had this one little girl, and her name was Sophie. And she actually, at the end of the week, I didn't think she liked me. And she brought me this note. And she had drawn me. And all of the red that I wore all week, all of the face paint, she added that onto there. And she put best teacher ever. And she was about to cry because she didn't want theater camp to be over. And so she was so upset that we were leaving, and she kept making me promise that I would be back the next year. And I think those kind of moments where I get to meet either like older, younger people my age, just sort of having that community aspect is really what makes it worth it to me.
That is the sweetest thing I have ever heard.
Ain't that awesome?
That's amazing. Second question that's kind of spurred off of that one. How is it? Okay, so you work in chats, which is connecting humans. In chats, I'd say that that audience is probably, it ranges from 18 to 60. It's a big group. How did you build community this summer with 6 to 10-year-olds? Like, what's the difference there?
I think my approach, per usual, I have a very sarcastic personality. So I think a lot of the ways that I learned to kind of bring, because 6 and 10, that's a very different age. Like, they're close, but they're also really, really far apart in terms of just cognitive abilities and things like that. So what I figured out how to do is to teach them how to sing certain things together, aside from what they were already learning. So I taught them how to, basically, we would all lay in a circle on the ground in the MCA lobby, just because it would echo. And I would have them all lay on their backs with their feet together and sing. I would sing the first part of the Freddie Mercury, like, AO thing. And then they would sing the second part. And then they would get to, like, hear their voices and, like, basically, like, the phonetic side of theater they got to hear. And then I would also do things like, hey, you look cool over there, but you would look even cooler whenever you're getting to know people around you. And slowly they all started to pick up a really good sense of humor and just sort of come together, which is a lot for, like, 13, 6 to 10 year olds.
That is so sweet.
That is. Ain't that so cool though?
Yeah.
Because it's honestly, I feel like it'd be a little bit harder for younger, like around that age group.
It would too.
To be able to connect with other people, you know. As you get older, you know, you have a little bit more, you know.
They just haven't done it yet, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah. And being able to put them, you know, in that format, being able to do that, it means a lot.
Yeah. So you kind of made your own chats this summer, right? Like,
I got to pick out little games that we would play, and I would teach them how to like come up with ideas and problem solve and tell stories in their own way, just like at a more basic level. It was really cool.
That is amazing. And I think that whole thing kind of plays back in what you said earlier about this cool degree combo that you have of psychology and civic innovation. I know that the psychology department right now is doing something with rats. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so there is a class called Learning and Cognition taught by Dr. Baranowski here, and we all get assigned our own pet rat. Mine, her name is Kokomo, and her middle name is Rosemary. She is my very best friend. I've had her since the semester started, and I have to check on her every single day. And what we get to do with them is the first thing that we learn about is just general learning theories. And then we go a little bit more into cognition also. And we get to learn about classical conditioning, operant conditioning, basically how to get your rat to do what it needs to do. And once that happens, we actually put them on food deprivation to learn. Do we have to get them to a certain weight before they'll accurately start like learning and performing the tasks that we have to teach them? So we actually get to teach them how to perform in a Skinner box. So that's the thing where there's a lever inside of it and it gives them food, but we have to teach our rat how to push the lever for the food to get rewarded. And then there's also a four-armed maze. And there's this thing that rats can do, and they can build their own cognitive map of things. So you can put them down at any point in the four-armed maze, and they'll have this like layout in their head of where the food is at in the maze. And they'll be able to go and find it once you train them how to. And then the coolest part about the entire class is that at the end, we have rat games. So you get to train your rat to do a tightrope, a long jump. We have a general like race. Let's see. We have like a little like ninja warrior maze for them to do. And then I think there's a few other things also that I'm forgetting.
This just made me so excited that you've said all this. You want to know why? Because I have two mice at home.
You
want to
be my rat?
Yes, I would like to. And okay. Honestly, I need some advice to figure out, you know, how I can, you know, honestly train both my mice. You know how cool that would be? I think they're coming on like 2.5 years old. So they're getting really old and they're getting up there.
I have a question.
Yeah.
As the anti-rodent person in the room, apparently.
Okay.
And on this podcast, what is the difference for a mouse and a rat?
Honestly, I might be wrong on this, but I'm going to say that a rat is honestly a little bit smarter than a mouse.
Okay.
But also the size difference, too. Okay. Rats are increasingly a lot larger than mice.
Amelia, do you know?
I will also say that their tails are different, but rats have ugly tails. Like, Coco's tail is not cute.
And what was the name of the rat again? Sorry.
Kokomo Rosemary.
Kokomo Rosemary. Kokomo, like the Beach Boys song?
Absolutely.
Beautiful. Nice. Where does Rosemary come from?
Rosemary is so I have a second song to sing to her whenever she forgets that Kokomo is her song, because I sing that to her every day.
I don't think I know Rosemary. What song is that?
It's the one that's like, she ain't got no money, her clothes are
okay. Who sings that song?
I have no idea.
Okay, so probably not the Beach Boys, but it could be, because I don't know either. So the Beach Boys. Okay. Yeah. That is so cool.
Ain't that cool, like how you can like kind of connect, you know?
Yeah,
crazy that, you know, that you're actually working with a rat, you know. Yeah. And you know, cognitive learning with the rat, and then plus me at home have no idea,
yeah,
that you can actually do that, you know.
Maybe this is just me, but I'm sensing this weird like circle moment in between like the chats event that Amelia does and working with children over the summer and building community and like training rats, you know, like
working with a whole large spectrum,
right? Amelia, what do you think about that?
I think you have to understand people to be able to help them. And that's really the best phrase that I've got for what I want to do.
I think that's the quote of the podcast right there. Like, we can pack up and finish this project. What did you just say? I think you have to understand people to know how to work with them.
Know how to help them. And just if you understand what's wrong first, it's kind of like the idea of like, if you look at someone and you ask someone the solution to poverty, it's not to give them money. Like, there's a lot of layers that come back into that, more than just like money's not the problem in poverty. Usually it's usually related to opioid use, family connections, neurodiversity, untreated neurodiversity. So I think my passion comes in where I understand that second layer to those bigger problems.
That is so cool. So awesome. Amelia, we do have another question for you that we kind of mentioned before you joined us today. Is it true that you have a silver camera?
Oh my gosh, yes. Okay, I'll free plug it. So I have a camera that my mom took all my childhood pictures on, and I've really been wanting to use it more, especially whenever our house sold. I kind of brought back a lot of my old cameras and electronics to college with me. And this summer, I really decided that if I had an Instagram for it, I would actively post on it. So I take the little silver camera around to usually big campus events and things like that. And I'm starting to become known as the silver camera girl. And the Instagram handle is Amelion, AME4LSION. And I post every single picture that I take from those nights. And actually, I used to be a yearbook kid. So having a camera in my hands makes me feel like I have a reason to be where I'm at. So it's kind of relieved almost social anxiety in a way. Like, it gives me like a purpose to be there.
Wow. You put those dots together for us. Those were connected.
That is cool.
Right?
That is really cool.
Yeah.
I think it's awesome to capture, you know, where you're at.
Yeah.
At the moment. And you could go back and kind of sit in that moment and relive that. And you know exactly what happened during that time, you know, and you have that in the back of your mind. Like, hey, this is what happened here.
Exactly.
Had a great time that
day. Yeah. My funny story with the silver camera is that I did not know that the silver camera was a thing, A. And B, I did not know that Amelia was taking pictures of me during RA training and posting them on the silver camera Instagram. And then it was fun for me to scroll back over the past couple months and be like, oh, I remember that. I remember that.
Yeah, see?
To be fair, everyone else I asked for consent every single time.
Except for Ryan, apparently.
Except for Ryan.
Which, that makes sense. But yeah, that is so awesome. Amelia, I want to ask you this question, which is kind of fun. If there's a dream Bonner project that you could do, what would it be? You could travel anywhere, you could do anything. What would your dream project be?
Okay, this is just where my head's at today, maybe. One of the things that I used to do is my summer before college and kind of like my entire senior year, I actually was a mentor and then a worker, a youth development professional at my local Boys and Girls Club. And I think I really just learned to have a heart for the teen side with those kids. And I feel like college keeps me from sort of being there for those kids, because we had about 30 in the summer and then we have like off and on 15. And I know we do have a Boys and Girls Club program here, but I think as far as civic engagement and kind of finding where my heart is, I would love to be able to show them the world, if that makes sense. Like, I don't know what I would want to show them, but I think revisiting where a lot of my civic mindset started from is what I would do.
That sounds good to me. I think you could pursue that. And I think you're going to pursue that after this college, right?
I'm sure. I'm actually really interested in building a nonprofit and for-profit side.
Yeah.
For teens and just development and a safe space in general.
Yes, you definitely have a heart for this work that I think we can all see.
Yeah.
Where do you go from here? You know, like you're going to be graduating early, I know. Because you came in with a bunch of credits and with that degree. So right now, what are you thinking about down the road for you, this heart that you have for this work?
So I've kind of solidified this just since maybe March. But what I want to do is similar to Blue Mountain Therapy that we have. They have a nonprofit and a for-profit side in this really big building that does occupational therapy, physical therapy, speech therapy. They do all sorts of therapy, and there is a for-profit side. And then there's also a nonprofit side, and they have a lot of things that actually specializes in ASD. So as my Civin independent project, I'm actually getting to build a sensory room for the nonprofit side of that building. So for kids around, let's say, young children all the way up to about 13 or 14, I'm currently building their sensory room. And so I think I want to do something kind of like that. I want to have the nonprofit side and the for-profit side, because after I finish my bachelor's, I'll go on and probably get a master's in psychology just to kind of have that financial plan, and then also keep the civic engagement aspect. And the dream is to become an entrepreneur, essentially, and to have my own really, really big building, and then have that teen youth development center. I want to have like art therapy going on. I used to want to do art therapy too. So I want to be able to teach those classes. I want to have sensory rooms. I want to have a place for maybe more like high school age kids to be able to go after school. So basically, if the Boys and Girls Club and Blue Mountain Therapy just had a child, that's the building that I want to create.
Amelia?
Yeah.
We have spoke a lot about civic innovation, civic engagement. Could you say what civic engagement means to you and your definition of it?
Let's see. So civic engagement and innovation to me, I feel like it's such a broad term. I don't think I can give you a like set in stone definition, just because I really like how much it's up to individual interpretation. But I do think it's more than just the active pursuit of it. But I feel like most people who do focus on it have like, they have a heart for connection. And I think a lot of what it means to me is just to build that connection with other people and like have that problem solving aspect to pursue a better life. I guess I kind of think it is the more actively pursuing a well-rounded and tranquil life and helping others get there with you.
That is so poetic and so beautiful. I as well as Amelia major in civic innovation at this college, and when people ask me, they're like, what's civic innovation? I always go, well, it's about place is usually my first answer. And then they're like, what is place? And then, you know, you break into the three-part construct, and it's a rabbit hole. But I agree
with
you.
That's why Tal Stanley's on my wall.
Tal Stanley is on your wall.
I actually have him for class.
Can you tell them a little bit about that? About why Tal Stanley is on your wall?
Absolutely. So I'm actually an RA in Wiley Jackson that we call MAWA. I call it Martha Washington. And at my floor theme for this year, I was supposed to have first years, so we have themed housing. And my theme is actually civic innovation and engagement. So I thought, what better way to accurately represent it than put the face of Talmadge Stanley on my wall? So out in our common area, I actually have Tao's face on top of a, like a little pick art dude sitting crisscross. And it says, it has a little text bubble coming from him, and it says place is a three-part definition. And then all around him, it talks about the history, human culture, the built environment, physical environment, and human history and culture. And it has little icons and stuff to kind of help you understand all the different things that play into it.
For those listening who do not know, Mr. Talmadge Stanley is a professor at Emory Henry College and former director of the Bonner Scholar Program. He teaches in the Civic Innovation Department, and he is my superhero.
He's a great guy. The first class I've had with him is this semester.
Really?
Which is Core 300 Ireland. Okay. And I think you're in there.
I'm in that class.
You are
too.
In there. Yeah. There's
a lot of people in that class. This is my third class with Tao. I've had one with him every semester, and I want one with him every semester until either he quits or I quit. You know, like.
Yeah. This is the first class I've had with him. And honestly, I enjoy going to his class every day. It's fun. Story exchanges. You learn a lot about a person that you've never talked to. I think that's very, very important.
Very. And when I was a first year, I wish there was a bit flag of Tao Stanley's face when I got off the elevator going into MAWA. But Amelia has a really cool civic innovation floor. They do there's a lot of great community on that floor. Shameless plug, Amelia and I are RAs together. We're on call partners every Monday.
Nice.
So we get to hang out a lot.
That's
and
cool.
Amelia, Terry, you are such an awesome human being, and we're so proud of you and the work that you're doing, and you definitely have a heart for this. And thank you so much for coming on our podcast.
Thank you for having me and complimenting me. Oh my goodness.
No, you deserve all of the praise. You are wonderful.
You do.
So we hope you have a wonderful rest of your semester. And hopefully we can bring you back for a part two to give us a little update about what you're doing.
Yeah.
No problem.
Studio B is part of the Emory and Henry College Bonner Scholar Program through the Appalachian Center for Civic Life. Studio B is produced by Meg Askew and edited by Ryan Vaughn. To listen to past episodes, go to anchor.fm/EHStudioB or wherever you listen to podcasts.